Hallelujah. Amen. So we're going to continue our study on love. This is part two. There's no part three for now. But we always still come back to it, surely. And last week we looked at the foundation of love. And when we're talking about that love, we're not talking about human love. We're talking about God's love. In fact, what we said last week was that the foundation of genuine love, real love, solid love, is who? Is God. Because God is love. Well, let's open our Bible to 1 John. Open there, 1 John. 1 John. I'm going to pick a reader today. So I take someone different. So who's going to be? A youth or an adult. I wanted to change it from last week, yeah. A youth or an adult from this side now. When I offer you, you're going to be on duty or two. You got it? You're happy? Okay. 1 John, you can do New Living Translation or New King James Version. 1 mm-hmm. John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. 1 John, we're looking at the way of love. Last week we looked at the foundation of love. Now we're taking it further and we're looking at the way of love. 1 John 4, 7 and 8. Yes? 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8.
Behold, let us love each other.
Beloved, let us
love one another. For love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love.
Amen. Okay. Amen. That's good enough. It said, beloved, let us love one another. Why? Because love is of God. That already tells you it's not human love. And everyone who loves is born of God. That already tells you that it's not human love. Because you can't be born of God if you are not born again. To be born of God is to be what? To be born again. To be born from above. To be born of the Spirit. You are talking about the same thing. To be a new creation. You are talking about the same thing. Everyone who loves is what? Is born of God. I'm just showing you. You see the link to last week. And it says that he who does not love. What does he say? He who does not love. Does not. He said it. Does not know God. He who does not love does what? Does not know God. Why?
For God is love.
Because God is love. I just give you a proof now to explain to you that the foundation of love is what? Is God. I want to say something now. I pay special attention. Last week we said, you know, we just showed you a little difference between New King James and New Living. Because in 1 Corinthians 13, it said that, you know, if I can do this and I don't love others, yeah, then I'm nothing. But we said that that's true, but it's not deep. Remember to New King James. It says that if I can do all these things and I don't have love, now, that's deep. It's deeper. Because we said that love is not just about loving others. Actually, your genuine love starts from loving God. Amen? In the grand scheme of things, if you don't love God, you can't properly love others. Do you know why? Because a human being is essentially what? Selfish. Amen? You know one of these, you can know that. If you take a group picture with your friends or your family and they bring you a copy, what's the first thing you're looking for? That's the human nature. Amen? So, you can't love others properly except motivated by your love for God. Because others have the capability to offend you. People have what? The capability to offend you. Now, when I'm saying that, you may think, oh, maybe your enemies, even your friends, even your family. Yeah? When a student comes up, yeah, that crosses what they want, if what you want is a bit different from what they want, as humans, then there's a clash. Yeah? Because you want your way and they want their way. So selfishness, which is the king, shows up. Amen? That's why your human love, when I say human love, I'm talking about your emotional love. Yeah? Based on your feelings or your thinking. It's not enough. Because someday, sometime, there'll be a reason why you should not love someone. Yeah? You trusted in someone, they let you down. Human love cannot cope. You treated someone nicely and they treated you badly. Human love cannot cope. And like I said last week, pardon me. You know, someone said, oh, you know, you may meet someone who is still very nice person, a nice person. They don't know God. There are people who don't know God. They are nice. Have you met them? And there are people who claim to know God and they are mean. Have you met them? Both are not okay. Both are anomalies. So someone who is nice, they don't know God, yeah? It's like what Mike Tyson said. I'm not quoting him. He's not my hero. Someone just said it. I read it in the news. Well, like Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson was the world heavyweight boxing champion. And he was very just, what's the word? Very, is it brutal or clinical? He won most fights by knockout. If his blow lands on your face, you're gone. So he said, everyone has a plan until they are punched on the lip. Do you know what that means? Like, if they receive that punch on the lip and their lip splits and his blood is over, but no matter their boxing plan, it's over. So what he's saying is that, you see, you think you are nice until you are really hit where it hurts. Then the meanness in you will come out. I'm talking about human love. Human love. It is not within your capacity, yeah, to love others properly as a human being without God. But I want to take it to the next level today. You can't even love God properly based on your human love. Because there are times, and like someone shared today, when you are trusting God to do something for you and time is ticking. You know what I mean? Time is ticking. It's not happening. So yes, you may feel that you love God based on what you have tasted. But what if you are going through a trying time and you are waiting? So human love again. Emotional love is good. It's good to, I'm not saying emotional love is not good. Amen? You know, when we are resurrected and we have new bodies, we will still have emotions. I used to think we wouldn't until I understood Revelation. Because in the book of Revelation, yeah, chapter 21, the Bible says that God will wipe away all what? All tears. There can't be tears without emotion. There's another thing I saw in Revelation. It said, the leaves of the tree of life are for what? The healing of the nation. But you're already in the resurrected state. What do you need healing for? Your body is perfect, yeah? Do you need healing when your body is perfect? So what do you need healing for? You still have emotions. The memories from the past, yeah? The memories from the past of your human life, when they will still flare up, you will know, God's not going to wipe away your memory. Yeah? But when they come up, it will heal. Amen. It's just like today. You know, when you go through a trying time or a hard time, yeah? Sometimes you may find it difficult to forgive. Are you with me? And I always tell you that forgiveness is not an emotional matter. It's a spiritual matter. Because it can come between you and God if you don't forgive. It doesn't matter how heavily you have been hurt, or how frequently. Forgiveness is a spiritual matter. Are you with me? So we have to separate between soul and spirit. You know why I tell you? Because in your soul, you still have memory. And memory can hurt. It takes time to be healed. Amen? You know, so it says you should forgive and forget. You never actually forget. It's just that when you remember and you have truly healed, it won't hurt anymore. Amen? But the fact that you have a memory or something that's gone wrong does not mean you should be in unforgiveness. It's a spiritual matter. You go to God. Yeah? And say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I forgive them. You release your spirit so that your spirit can flow with God. Amen? Praise the Lord. In order to truly forgive people, you need faith. Say, I need faith. In order to truly love God properly, you need what? Faith. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith, can I just modify it and also tell you that without faith, it's impossible to love God? You can't. So when you come to God, yeah, the first thing you must encounter is that to know that He's real. You must know. If you have not, you don't believe. If God is not real to you, yeah, it will not change. It cannot change your life. God must be real to you. When you take Him seriously, yeah, your life starts changing. Hallelujah. So when we come to God, I'm talking about the way of love. The first thing we receive from Him as we put our trust in Him is His love. Amen. I am now to love God back with the love He has put in my heart. Hallelujah. In order to walk in love, you must first receive love and embrace love. Say, I must first receive and embrace. As I receive God's love and as I embrace it, it cannot flow back to me. Amen? And the first measure that I've received God's love is my love back for God. I just want to explain that it comes above your love for others. Because you can love others selfishly. I love you because you're my friend. Yeah? It's emotional love. But emotional love, it always includes a selfish interest. You treated me nice, I love you. You treated me back, please stay away. Hallelujah. See, I have the love of God inside my spirit. And I choose to walk in love. Okay, now let me ask you questions because I must change from preaching to teaching. So just to try to engage you. Okay? So the question is this. What is the proper motivation of walking in God's love? Why should I walk in God's love? Why not teach for that? You know? You hit me. We had this thing when I was growing up. He said, you hit me and I hit you. And God cannot be angry. We actually said it in some form of pidgin English in those days. So why not eat for that? Why not dog eat dog? Why should I walk in God's love when it will take so much from me? Yes, let's I have many answers here. So what's the proper motivation? What is the real motivation behind walking in God's love? What can motivate you properly? Maybe let me break the question down. Like, we are going through stuff, but what can motivate you, even in the midst of stuff you are going to still walk in God's love? Yeah. Anyone? Let me see. I don't want to take that from you. I want to keep it with you. I'll get another one. No, I know what to do. No, I don't know what to do. Okay, I know what to do. Thank you. You see, that's why you need the helper. In life, you need what? I was talking with a young person yesterday. I was like, there are problems you are going through in your life. You will never be able to solve by yourself. It takes humility to understand that you need someone else to come. If you find yourself in quicksand, there's no point trying to help yourself. You will go down faster. You need external help. And God is so kind. It's not your job to provide help. It's God's job. And He does. He never sleeps, nor what? No matter what you are going through in life. Because God is good, Why is God good? Because God is love. He has positioned help somewhere. You can't provide help for yourself. He does it as an extension of his grace. But it's your responsibility to be humble enough to receive help. You see, when God has provided help for you and then you walk away, there's nothing God can do. He can't force you. Always I say the prodigal son, yeah, the father loved him, yeah. But did you see the father going to look for him where he went? Why? Because the father already, there was enough love established. The young man knew that any day I change my mind, my father is waiting for me. The father's love is guaranteed. Yeah? But our own response is to humble ourselves and receive his help. And that help, most of the time, we come through people. Because no man has seen God at any time. The closest we came to seeing God was Jesus Christ. Because Jesus is God. Did you know that? Yeah. So, God walks through people. So, just say, God walks through people. And that's why you cannot say that you love God and not love people. 1 John, open to 1 John. Please, we'll come back to that question. Let me just flow with the Spirit. 1 John chapter 4 again. Exactly where you are. Yeah? And I'll show you. Meredith, go for verse 12.
No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us.
Hallelujah. Now read verse 20.
If someone says, I love God, but hates a fellow believer, that person is a liar. For if we don't love God, if we don't love people, we can see how can we love God, whom we cannot see.
Yes. Are you following that thought? That thought is saying that. I would reverse it, because if I explain that way, you understand. Yeah. It's not loving people that depends on loving. No, it's not loving God that depends on loving people. Mm-hmm. It's loving people that depends on loving God. So what he's saying there is that if I truly love God, I have got to necessarily, it's a proof that I genuinely love God, that I will love people. If I don't love people, my love for God is at best shallow. It's not deep. Amen? He said, you must challenge yourself. Measure yourself. Always measure yourself. I love God. I love you, Lord, for your mercy. You know, when you finish that worship, now go and test yourself with people. Starting with the most unlovable. You said that own fellow said, you can't love an unlovable person with your human love. You can't carry it. It's impossible. Yeah? But what you used to do is that when you have dealing with unlovable people, go and refill your flow of God's love. Then you can love them. Not with your love, but God's love. 1 John 4. So if it says, I know I love God, and you hate your brother, yeah? Then how can you love God that you have not sinned? Yeah? When you can't even practicalize eat with someone. Amen. Back to the question. What is the motivation? What are the motivations for walking in love? Why should I walk in love? Yes, come on, church. Why? Why should I walk in God's love? Why don't I just protect myself, put myself first, have my way, put everybody down, everybody behind, underfoot, use them to score a goal? Why should I love God? Yes, I'll come back to you.
I think it's because God first loved us and he told us to love one another.
Hallelujah. Did you hear that? Let me back you up, because that will make you happy. 1 John, but you need to help me find it now. He said we loved him. because he first loved us. I think it's that the same place, but let me just make anybody find it for me. We loved him because he first loved us. Yes? 4. Married it. 1 John 4:19. Okay. Read it. Okay. 1 John 4:19.
We love each other because he loved us first.
Amen. We loved him because why?
He loved us first.
That doesn't mean you never love somebody. Yeah? That means that people, unbelievers can love people. They can love their friends, they can love their girlfriends or boyfriends, or they can love their parents or whatever. They don't need to be born again. Let me just explain something to you now. Unbelievers can love their parents and their children, and they don't need to be born again. That means that loving my parents and my children is not necessarily the test, the proof that I have God's love. Hello? Are you with me? Unbelievers, people who don't know God can love their sisters and their brothers. Some don't. So, oh, I love my, someone say, I love my baby to bits. you don't need to have God's love to do that. Because an unbeliever can do it. We love. Why? Because we love God because he first loved. That's where it ever started from. Yeah? So when you receive love, yeah, then you owe it. When you receive love, then you owe it back. You know? So basically, like I always say, I said, God they never gives you a gift. And you can then go and do whatever you like with it. You know why? Because God is a God of purpose. Any gift God gave you has a what? Purpose. So if God gave you a troika and they're using it to bang the wall, is God pleased? No, there's a purpose. So every gift God gave you, there's what? A purpose. So that love God gave you, it has what? A purpose. What's the purpose? So that you can release it. Amen? And while I was thinking about love, yeah? We still come back to that question. There's a scripture that came. Normally we use it for tithes and offerings, but today we'll do it differently. Luke 6. Go for it. Luke 6:38. Open your Bible to Luke 6:38. Now, 1 John 4:19 says, we love him. Let's read that again. We love him because he first loved us.
Sorry?
So, before you go there, sorry, I'm just playing through my plan and the Holy Spirit is helping me. When you are low in love, yeah, you must go back to the source of love. Because that is your supply. When I'm struggling to love people, yeah, it also shows that I'm out of fellowship. Amen? Let me tell you how it happens. When someone hurts you, yeah, when someone treats you badly or says something wrong to you, it can assault your mind. An assault when you are hearing what is not nice about someone tell you that you are useless. That's an assault on your what? On your mind. If you don't do anything about it, it can affect your mind. If your mind is continually being assaulted, you can lose your mind. So you need to protect your mind, yeah, from continuous assault. Amen. That will help somebody. If there's something that is continually assaulting your mind, you need at a stage, you need to know how to protect yourself from that assault. Then when someone hurts you, they hurt your feelings. Yeah? You feel bruised and broken. Yeah? But that's all in your soul. It's all where? All the hurt you feel is where? In your soul. Because that's the center of your mind, your thoughts, your emotions. Yeah? Your memory. Do you see? But anything that happens in your soul can spill over. anything that happens in your soul can spill over into your spirit. Like what I'm preaching now, yeah? Do you know where it first enters you? In your soul. In your mind. You are processing what I'm saying, yeah? And as you meditate on it, it will move from your mind into your spirit. So when the ought moves from your soul into your spirit, it becomes bitterness. Unforgiveness. Yeah? Vengeance. Yeah? Or even guilt. That is where the spiritual arm is being torn. Amen? And that's why the first thing to protect is your spirit. How do you do that? It's by faith. When you're offended in your spirit, when the offense enters your spirit, you need to go to the source of love. Why you run low in love is offense entered your spirit. You say with me, say, why people run low in love? Okay, let's make personal. Say, why the reason why, say that, I run low in love is because offense has entered my spirit. Amen. Well, we need to chase it out of your spirit. We may not be able to chase out of your soul the art and assault. Yeah? That one just takes God that time for healing through the words. You see, the medicine for the soul is also always words. The word of God, and also includes, you know, the right words from people. Yeah? It brings healing to what? Your soul. Your soul needs healing. Your spirit does not need healing. Your spirit, what it needs is cleansing. Yeah? The only two things your spirit needs to be restored is redemption and cleansing by the blood. Amen? So, we loved because he first loved us. Yes? Other motivations? Actually, you know what? I'm going to stay now. I feel I can take a question. Any question? Everything I said so far. Any question, anyone? Yes, go for it.
What is the difference between your soul and your spirit?
Ah, thank you. Thank you for that. Okay. So, do you know the difference between your body and your spirit? Okay, so your body is a physical you, your flesh and blood. And that's why your heart, the one that pumps blood in your body, is not your spirit. That is not your spiritual you. That's just a pump. It's a blood pump. Do you get it? So, that's your body, the physical. So, when you move to the realm where you can think and feel, where you think, where you feel, your head, that's where your soul is. It's your center of thoughts, yeah, and emotion, and decision. Your soul. You don't need to be born again before you have a soul. I mean, you don't need to. So people who don't know God, people who are not in tune with God, they still have, they can think, they can feel, and they can do things. Yeah? You see that? So your intellectual realm, your mental realm, your emotional realm, all is in your soul. Then your spirit is the spiritual part of you that you can use to contact the spiritual realm. Not just God, but they're also spirits. Yeah? So your spirit is what you used to believe and have conviction. So any conviction you have, yeah, it sits in your spirit. Some say, but I don't believe in any value you have that you pursue, any value at all, is a conviction. And it's coming from what? Your heart. So you can love someone with your head. It means that you can like someone. That's head. Maybe you like their hairstyle or their earring or their shoe or all the other things you can like. Or their phone is in your head. But you can love someone with your heart. That means that whether they're looking good or not, you still love them. It's deep. So the spirit, so the way to picture is, look at three rectangles. The body is a big rectangle outside, and the soul is an inner rectangle inside the body, and the spirit is a smaller rectangle inside the soul. Yeah? It's your innermost being. And I could call the soul your inner man, and your body is your outer man. And if you are wondering why I'm using rectangles, because I got a revelation about the temple being a model. You know, the Bible says our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. So, and in the temple of God in Jerusalem, there's the outer court, it's the body, there's the inner court, which is the soul, and there's the sanctuary, the innermost, which is the spirit. Okay? So, any question? Anyone? Any question? Okay, let's go back to motivation. I want to walk in, yes, I want to walk in love. Yeah? I know that God loved me. But sometimes, as a human being, is that enough motivation? It is the best motivation, actually, but can we break it down? You know, if God loved me, so what is my motivation to love God? Let's take this question first. Yeah. Okay.
Sorry to take us a bit back. Along the lines of the spiritual and body. So your body, you can feel it. If you have a cut, that's physical, that's your body. But you can still be hurt in your soul, isn't it? If somebody, like you said, somebody assaults you. So that's another part of you that you cannot see, but you can feel, because it can be hurt. But your spirit, can you feel your spirit?
I can feel the spirit of God moving. You know, it's not physical feeling. Yeah? You are just saying that you can sense. You are making a contact. So basically, when you have contact in any of those realms, you can detect it. So maybe feeling or sensing is not the best word, because we use them in physical ways. But anytime you have contact, whether in your body or in your soul or in your spirit, you can detect it. We call that, I can feel it, but what it means that you can detect it. So for example, God can speak to you in your conscience, and you just know that God has spoken to you. You detected it. Yeah? You can go in somewhere and in your spirit you just know. And if you're not sure, ask my sister there. You just know that something is not right. You know. You detected it. What is spiritual? It's not in your soul. It's not based on what you saw, but in your spirit. You entered an atmosphere and you felt. Or you can, let me say the one you get the one you get. You can be lost in worship and you feel the touch of God. Yeah? It's not in your soul. It's in your spirit. You can feel it. Yeah? Now, can you be hurt in your spirit? Yes. The only thing that hurts your spirit is sin. Yeah? When you are offended, anytime you are bitter, you are unforgiving, yeah? You've lost confidence in God, it hurts your spirit. And I tell you that the only way your spirit can be restored is repentance. Repentance is just to recognize that something is wrong here. So what I'm saying is that when I say your spirit is hurt, it means it has turned away from the source. Look at the compass, yeah? Your spirit should always be pointing towards God so that the flow is maintained. But when your spirit turns and begins to point towards self, yeah? Repentance is to turn it back to the focus. Because every time when offense comes, it interferes and turns your spirit from focusing on God. Your spirit begins to focus on the wrong thing. Yeah? So the flow you should get from God is interrupted. Your faith is no longer in gear. What is faith? Another definition of faith. Faith is to put the focus on God. When you focus on God, you can see possibilities. Yeah? When my focus is on God and somebody asks me, yeah, what did Jesus do? The Bible says that he trusted in God. Yeah? Who is able. I've forgotten that particular scripture. It's in Hebrews. You know, he trusted in God despite what was happening. Yeah? God can justify you. Amen? God can do what? You know, there's something, I shared it before. One day I was just going to shower. It just dawned on me. It came to my spirit. It's a word in my spirit. It was Romans. Open your Bible to Romans chapter 12. This was many years ago. This is not recently. Maybe like 3-4 years ago. You know? Romans chapter 12. Open to Romans 12. It's a good question, because what we are doing today, based on this question, we are separating well between your soul. Because when I know that I'm a spirit and a soul, and I'm facing a problem, I can separate. You know, you don't lump them together. If you lump them, you'll not overcome, because your faith and love will not work. Yeah? I can separate that. The fact that I'm feeling this way does not mean that's all about all there is to it. There is still a innermost being in me that can undo this problem differently to the way I feel. Amen? And that's where you get the victory. Amen? Romans 12. Let's quickly do that and then we'll go back to that question. Romans 12. Anybody found it? It said, vengeance is mine. Yes, let's go to you. Please, Mary, can you just pass on that mic? Yeah, pass it on, let that read. Romans 12. Do you get the verse? Okay, oh, verse what? Thank you. Verse 19. Romans 12, 19. Go on, please.
Thank you. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourself, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, said the Lord.
Continue, please. Okay. To 21.
20.
Yeah.
Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. 21. But be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good.
Amen. Now, you know what the Bible is telling us? It's telling us the way of love. So ask me, what is one of the motivations of walking in love? I tell you, one of the motivations is that you can overcome evil. With what? Now, if you don't walk in love, yeah, you can create a greater problem. Or you can spend long, yeah, fighting the quicksand and not overcoming any evil. You can't walk in love without faith. Just know that. Any love you walk in without faith is human love. And human love will break down one day. It must. It can't carry it. So, he says that. So, the word that came to me when I was going to shower is that he said, look at what God, is God talking. He said, vengeance is who? What's the name of mine? Where are the English champions? Let's try the young one there. When you say something is mine, imagine having a discussion with your mom. I mean, your very mom. That you were inside out before. If you realize that. So then it's good to remember that you. There was a time that everything depended on that woman. You sucked that out completely. If she ate, you took your share by force. You know, there's some pregnant women that they end up having dental problems. Is this correct? Is this scientific? Like, if they're pregnant and they're not eating enough diet for that has calcium, the baby will take away the calcium in their teeth to form its own bones. Can you believe that? You know, we love him. We love because what? He first loved. And it's good to put life in perspective. You know, I'll show you something else about love today. I can't do everything, but I'll just show you something else. We will have future sessions. But the question was, what does it mean when you say something is mine? You know, like you're telling your mom, this is mine. What does it mean? What does it mean to you as a young man? When you say it's mine, what are you saying?
That it belongs to you.
Yes, what else are you saying? Okay, somebody will help. Don't worry, you'll get it. Yeah, imagine a scenario where you have to emphasize that it's mine. Like when your brother is saying it's mine, what's he telling you?
That I own it.
They own it, yes, but I need something more forceful. What you say is correct. But when you have to emphasize that something is yours, what are you trying to communicate to the other person?
That it's your right.
It's your right, yes. Yes, I heard a word. I wonder if it was someone said something there. Yeah. It's mine.
You shouldn't touch it.
Don't touch it! Amen? What is he telling us? He said vengeance is what? What is he telling you? Don't touch it. Don't what? What happens when you touch it? You complicate it. So it just came to me. God, it's like God is telling me, he said, vengeance is mine. Now listen to the point. He said, I will repay. He said, God is telling me that it's committed. Don't touch it. But when you touch it, you will complicate it. So you know what I should do? When I wake up, yeah, after washing God, my cry, I says, Father, thank you for Romans chapter 12, verse what? 19. Vengeance is yours. And you what? You will repay. So thank you because you will vindicate me. You will justify me. And that is enough. That is enough. Because by doing that, you can continue to walk in love. Now, when God repays, you know the king of Egypt? His name is Pharaoh. you know Pharaoh? God gave him 10. How many? 10 opportunities to repent. 10. Then he still refused. So God decided that it's time to repay him for all his hard work. You know where he ended? Where's the mic? Where was Todd mic? Okay, I've dropped it. Yes, okay. Yes, please pass it on. We need that answer. When God repaid Pharaoh for all his hard work. You know Pharaoh worked hard. Go on, please.
He ended with all his people and his armies in the Red Sea.
In the bottom. The bottom. There was no going back. Amen. You know why God doesn't repay quickly? Because he doesn't want anyone to what? To perish. If God gave you what you deserved immediately and gave everybody in this world exactly what you deserve immediately, nobody will be alive again. Nobody will go to heaven. So he doesn't want anyone to what? To perish. But that they come to what? Repentance. Amen? But listen, as I'm just preaching, I just wish to show you a difference. He said, vengeance is mine. I will repay. Now, when everybody is growing. Say I'm growing. Say I should be growing. If you're not growing, there's a problem. I mean, spiritually, you have to be growing. You can't be the same person. You should be able to look at yourself 5 years ago and say, oh, but why did I even behave that way? You've grown. You must grow. So you say, I must grow. You must grow. When you are growing, you look back. You say, look at 1 Corinthians 13. You say, when I was a child, I thought as a child. I spoke as a child. I acted as a child. But when you are walking in love, you have to grow. You must grow. That you will grow. So sometimes you must look and say, I do it. I may not tell anybody, but I'm looking at this. Why did I behave like that? That's not fitting. I've grown. Amen? I've grown. So God told me one day, he said, when God says I will repay, yeah? Don't just think he's telling you that you will repay the person that offended you. No. No. He will repay you. He will repay what? You, for your walking in love. Because sometimes you may think, okay, but that person repented. You know, Prophet Jonah, that person repented. They took advantage of me. Or what was that? Let me hear you. They did what? You know, let me hear another word. What where can you say it?
They escaped, Scott.
Sometimes the desire to be evil is greater than the desire for God to bless you. What you need most in your life is not getting even. What you need more is your, in your life is the blessing. Amen. And I tell you, part of the blessing also is the restoration of relationship. When a relationship is broken, if I can work with God and God restores that relationship, it's a greater blessing than if I got even. But whether they got their reward negatively or not, it will repay you. Yeah? Someone took my £10. Okay, maybe let me raise it. I'm looking at everybody here. Like, £10 will not impress you. Sorry? Yeah, that's too far. Someone took my £200. They begged me to loan them this money. You know, made all the promises in the world. In fact, I will even pay you interest. And then they promised that 1 month. I said, I need this money for a special application that is due in 1 month. She said, no, it's just so urgent. 1 month came. They didn't even call to say, look, I'm sorry. You challenge them. They're like, what do you mean? It's not just £200. 2 months, 3 months, 4 months. You know, that's painful, isn't it? It's like they escaped. But when God repaid you, when God came up, maybe it was the fourth month, £1,000 came in for you. Not from your salary. Someone blessed you with it. Or maybe they didn't give you the money, but they gave you something worth £1,000. He said he wanted to pay. He said, don't bother. Has he not repaid you? Would you rather have the 200 or the 1,000? Thank you. Even if for 4 months wait. So long you didn't lose anything eventually. Praise the Lord. But to do that, you need faith. Because faith always turns the focus back on God. Hallelujah. That's the focus, God. The Bible says that they look for a city that had foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Let me see how we're doing time, because I must finish on time. Okay, we still have 5 minutes. Amen. Can I ask you a question? I'm going to digress. Yeah. What's, do you need any city in the world that has, doesn't have foundation? Open to Hebrews. Hebrews 11. Open to Hebrews 11. It's digression, but it will bless you. Hebrews chapter 11. We are looking today at the way of law. It's a different way of life. It's a radical way of life. But it pays. It what? It pays. Hebrews, if you want to overcome evil with good, rather than complicating and multiplying evil, you can only do it by walking in God's love. Tit for tat does not overcome evil. Now, I'm not telling you to be foolish or to be stupid. If someone is trying to break your head, you ought to have enough sense. I remember having a chat with somebody that I know. I was like, what happened? I said, something hit me on the face. I said, what were you looking? You know? But I'm not trying to say that. If it may happen to you the first time, yeah? Isn't it? Or the second time or the third time. But if it's happening to you the 10th time, because I want to tell you something. There's a reason why God did not just make you a spirit. He gave you what? a brain, a soul. It's not your brain is not unspiritual. Yeah? It's what you put inside, the software. Do you get what I mean? A computer is neutral until you load it with software. The software will now determine whether it's being used for hacking or it's being used for, you know, programming something good. Do you see? So your brain is a helper to your spirit. Let me explain that to you. I want to tell you something very, very good now. Your soul is the wife of your spirit. Your soul is what? They will go together. Anywhere they are going together. When you leave this world, yeah? Even if you've left the body, your soul and your spirit, where do they go? Together. They are married. And the soul is the helper of the spirit. Provided it's well programmed. If that soul is not well programmed, she will help your spirit down. But if it's well programmed, she will help your spirit what? Up. The spirit is masculine. The soul is feminine. And I'm not doing any gender discrimination. Both are important. If you lose your soul, you are lost. If you lose your spirit, what? You are lost. Both are what? Important. Amen? So, you ought to have enough wisdom. Yeah? To know how to not allow yourself to continually be damaged. Yeah? If you are being assaulted, yeah? You need to find a way to restrict the assault. But that doesn't mean you will not walk in love. You must still walk in love. Because when you walk in love, you will grow. Say, I will grow. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know what? I spoke with someone. I said, you know, even in relationships, no one is perfect. Can you say, when you say no one? Not even Pastor Ben. Say it. It's perfect. Sharon, I know you wanted to read, so let me give you somewhere to read. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I wanted, you're just looking at your face. I remember something I said I will share. 1 Corinthians 13, New Living. I want New Living now. 1 Corinthians 13, New Living. And we are looking at, let me just track it. So let's just, we'll round up like a couple of minutes. 1 Corinthians 13, New Living. And we are looking at verse 4. And we are going to have Sharon. Yes, you can have it. 1 Corinthians 13:4. And I will just leave it with you. Go on.
Love is patient and kind.
Yes.
Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude.
Love is not what?
Boastful or proud or
love
rude.
Is not proud. So you say with me, say love?
Love.
Is what?
Is not proud.
Before, I, you know, if you're not there, I would teach you love is patient and kind. But today, what I want to teach you is that love is not what? If I'm not ready to lay down my pride, yeah, I can't hear what God wants me to do. Your pride will come in the way. I say, no, no, no. Sometimes when you are sad, sometimes, I just say every time, please. Sometimes when you are sad, it's because your pride has been wounded. And I'm telling you my personal experience that the way to overcome it is not go about blaming every other person. Repent. I say, Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for being sad. What about psychology is that? In what is psychology? You're never sorry, you know? For being sad or depressed, it's somebody else's fault. Yeah? But sometimes it's because you are holding on to it. You are holding so tightly to the offense, you are not releasing it. Yeah, that's why you are sad. So now, even without that other party coming to say sorry, because I understand that this sadness is affecting my spirit.
And that's a, is harming my relationship with God and my flow of love and my joy too and my peace. So I repent. I say, Lord, I let it, I release it. In my spirit, I release it. Amen. I put it in your hands. Vengeance is, I'm telling you, you can quote that. It's Bible. It's not just Bible. God said it. So you can quote it. When you quote to the Lord, vengeance is just you repay. It's perfectly scriptural. The only difference is that you're not going to recommend to him how to repay. Amen. Let's rise up. I think we can leave it there. I have so many other things to say, but we can leave it there. You know, time is a blessing. It helps to restrict you from doing too much. When you do too much, it can also hurt you. So thank God for time. On this side of eternity, time is good. Just think of what you've learned today. We talked about the way of love. And we talked about different things. We talked about the soul and the spirit. We talked about loving because he first loved us. We talked about the fact that to really walk in God's love, the God kind, you need faith. It's a faith journey. The motivation for walking in love. Yeah, I didn't say that, but let me just say it now. You know, the foundation is because he loved us. And so the motivation is to please God. The motivation, the proper motivation for walking in love at any time is that you want to what? You want to please God. You want to honor God. Yeah? You want to promote righteousness. You want to overcome evil with what? With good. That is your motivation for walking in love. And I tell you, it's worth it. Because it will repay you. It won't just repay your enemy. It will what? It will repay you. You must believe that he's a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. It will repay you. If you believe it. If you don't believe it will repay you, I don't know how you get your repayment. You will frustrate it. But if you believe it, it will repay you for your faith. Your life of faith, your love, your walk of love, and your perseverance of hope. He will repay.